Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Wednesday, the 29th of July. Very nice to have you with us. And let me introduce our panel to you, and then I will let you know, you know already, but I'm going to let you know how you can email us and be a part of our conversation as well. All you have to do is go to roundtable@wamc.org, and we would love to hear from you, and we may even read your letter. We're not promising, but we may. It is a great group this morning. Let me introduce them. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir, and good morning to everybody. I'm back again.
Excellent. Is your back feeling better, speaking of
that
your
was
back?
The point.
Yes.
That was the whole
yes.
Point.
Okay. Editor of the Daily Gazette, Judy Patrick, is with us again, and it's a delight to have her here.
Good morning, all. It is really nice to be
Thank
back
you.
Here.
Making one of two appearances this week. We'll see you on Friday as well, so we're very excited to have you here this week. Also making his second appearance this week, Daily Freeman publisher emeritus, Ira Fussfeld is with us.
Good morning, sir. Nice to see you
all. He was also editor emeritus because he was editor for a long time before he was publisher.
Yes, and sports editor emeritus and bowling score writer, typist emeritus, and general all-around emeriti.
That's very interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm glad you said that.
And you know what that means.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have you do your sports editor thing. And let's start with the Tom Brady story. So, all right, I don't know what to make of all this. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's decision Tuesday to uphold Super Bowl MVP Tom Brady's four-game suspension for his role in the Deflategate controversy certainly fit in with the narrative of this surreal scandal. Nothing much ever seems to happen, even as more and more outlandish details emerge. So here's what we found out from the commissioner's report, 20-page report, from what I understand, that I've read most of, that says that on or about March 6th, the same day that Brady was to be interviewed by the investigator spending millions to study the air pressure of 12 potentially underinflated footballs from the AFC Championship game, the quarterback gave a cell phone he'd been using for 4 months to an assistant with instructions that it be destroyed.
Well, I think it's fair to say that nobody is looking very good in this whole thing. When we talked about this some months ago when I was here, I tried to make the point that the transgression, the alleged transgression of deflating the footballs, was not such a big deal, and that it was just another one of those things that athletes
cover up.
Whatever the sport, an athlete, particularly a professional athlete, will look to get an edge by doing something that's borderline over the line. But it's just blown up into something that is wildly out of proportion. The penalty of the four games seems excessive, particularly when you look at the penalties that are given equal amount of games for things like spousal abuse and
murder.
And it's dragged on and on. And now you have the appeal, and now Brady, who might have been able to sort of escape on his reputation as being an all around all American good guy, now he looks even worse because he seems to have disposed of what might be incriminating text messages. Parentheses. Does this sound like the Hillary Clinton email scandal? But that aside, it's going to drag on and on and on, and it's in court. And at the end of the day, and not being that familiar with the collective bargaining agreement between the players and the league, I don't see how the players can overturn this, because the contract that they have with the league gives the commissioner wide berth to not only conduct these hearings, but to be judge and jury on the appeal, and then to set whatever penalty he deems is necessary.
Now, this is an unpopular commissioner, right?
Well, I think this is a commissioner that the general sports fans have never really warmed up to.
Yeah, so he's unpopular, and he sees this as a potential way to sort of get his numbers up, which is
with who?
With the public.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that
Goodell.
Yeah, Goodell works. Roger Goodell is the owner's commissioner, as are all commissioners in professional sports.
Sure.
He's got to satisfy the owners. And that's what I think is an undercurrent of all of this, because if the owners in the league wanted Goodell to lower the penalty or eliminate the penalty that he meted out to Brady, he would have done it.
So what do they want, Ira?
what do the owners want? Yeah. I think the owners at this point, I think the owners want the players to be put in their place. And I think that this revelation about the text messages and the seemingly blatant throwing away of what might have been evidence strikes them and me and most in the public the wrong way, and they don't want to let this guy off easy right now.
Can I ask a question, though? I mean, I was just putting myself and again, I'm a Patriots fan. I'm a Brady fan. Do I think he's guilty? Yes, I do. I thought he was guilty after that first press conference. He was obviously guilty of something.
But we all are guilty of something.
That's right. But if someone comes in, a non-criminal agency, say, and says, turn over your cell phone with all your personal information about you, your wife, your kids, would you do it?
Well, it's my understanding that they asked for it under the conditions that Brady's people would be allowed to sit there and see what they were going through, and what might be embarrassing or personal would not be public. They're only looking for this stuff, the Deflategate stuff.
He's
married to a supermodel. I don't know how much texting they do, but they claim that he has 10,000 text messages.
Right.
I mean, that's hard for me. Alan, have you done anywhere near 10,000?
No,
texts?
I get them, but I still don't know how to send them.
Yeah,
and he had an underling do it too. Yeah. Allegedly.
I mean, here's the question.
That's Roger.
Here's the question that I think the public has to ask in light of this severe penalty and the upholding of the penalty is, why would the NFL want to sully the reputation of its golden boy?
That's what I don't get.
And so they must have a real good reason that strikes to the heart of what they
Maybe they're winners, Ira, and they want to get rid of, they want to sort of lower their potential by giving him this.
You mean the other owners? There's certainly a lot of jealousy, and also the Patriots have not done themselves any good over the years by being in other widely publicized incidents that bordered on cheating or were cheating. What did they have? The film gate thing? They've had two or three of these kinds of things.
Spygate.
I think the whole thing's just a lot of hot air.
Yeah, and I also think from the outside looking in, I'm not a huge football fan. I'm not a Patriots fan, forgive me, but we have surreal. Your initial characterization, I thought that was spot on, because here you are all. You're arguing about whether or not the footballs were properly inflated. Shouldn't somebody besides the home team be inflating the footballs? And in the meantime, you've got professional sports. You've got people being charged with beating up people. I mean, far more serious things. Football's the number one sports in America. Really, efforts need to be made to impose integrity on that.
The fact that the referees check the footballs before the game and then turn the balls over to the ball boys, who are not employed by the league but are employed by the team, leaves themselves open for something like this to occur. And I believe they're already saying that's not going to happen.
They're already doing it. They're already coming up with a solution.
Yeah. I just think it's this is just much ado about nothing that has blown up, and nobody is looking good right now, and it's going to go on and on and on, because it's going to be in the courts, and it's going to hang over the season. I don't think that there's going to be any resolution before the first game.
Do you think, and I agree with you completely, but didn't you feel that the conventional wisdom was that when Brady in June went to have his 11-hour session with the commissioner to discuss the 4-game suspension, that most people, the conventional wisdom is that he probably come out with a 2-game suspension. And so you have to think that something happened.
Yeah, I think that the refusal to provide the texts, which they felt was pertinent in their investigation, he in effect, they will allege, blocked the investigation from being complete, and thus not being able to do that, and thus having blatantly blocked it by getting rid of these text messages. Goodell would not have looked good, nor would the owners have looked good if they said, okay, you didn't give us this stuff, and not only that, you threw it out, but we're going to cut your penalty in half.
Well, our friend Maggie Buchwald wants to know, if he sent incriminating texts, would they not still reside on the recipient's cell phones? Yeah, but who says
he destroyed the cell phone?
No, yeah, you decide his. But she's saying
on others.
On others, but then you'd have to know who they sent them to, and they'd have to give them up.
Yeah, I don't believe the NFL has subpoena power. Is that seems safe to say?
Thanks to God.
right. And also, even so, if they had gotten the messages and the messages had somehow incriminated Brady. And there were messages that were published prior to this, right? So this is the phone that he was using for 4 months. So I don't understand why they had some of the messages and not all of the messages. Anyway, but even if they had incriminating messages, so we would have still been in the same place. So now that they don't have the incriminating messages, they're still doing the same thing.
Well, I think it changed the discourse from we're investigating this. Okay, we see now that you did do this, but we don't think it's so serious to give you 4 games, so we'll cut it in half. To what else? You're being insubordinate, in effect, by not providing us with what we need to have to make that decision.
So aren't you putting the guy down at this point for not cooperating with the investigation,
yes,
as opposed to the actual...
Well, sure. I think that is what is preventing it from being cut in half. This is the 4 games to 2.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to some more mail, and then we'll move on to other topics. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Haydenville Woodworking and Design, a group of artisans designing and building renovations, additions, new homes, custom cabinets, and furniture for over 30 years. HaydenvilleWD.com for virtual portfolio. Berkshire Theatre Group presenting The Bewildering Journey of Finding Love in the Modern World, setting the premise for Terrence McNally's romance Frankie and Johnny in the Clair de Lune, now through August 22nd in Stockbridge. BerkshireTheatreGroup.org. Style Fabrics, Route 28, Kingston, specializing in quilting fabrics and supplies, Pfaff sewing machines, quilting classes, and more. Style-fabrics.com. And Preferred Mutual Insurance Company, offering home, auto, and business insurance products in New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire through an independent agent network. PreferredMutual.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We have many letters on the subject, so we will, not surprisingly, we will get to those.
Too bad. Okay. Jesse says, ask the NSA for the texts. I like it. Our people are so clever. Unsigned, and I don't like to read unsigned, says, was Tom Brady texting Hillary about Benghazi? Oh, see, everybody's very funny. Hi, Alan. You're all missing the point. The guy cheated by allowing her to get away with it. What message are we sending to our kids? Rules aren't important. It's okay to do whatever you need to do to win. Our kids desperately, and society as a whole needs models with integrity, not cheaters. Hmm. And then Robert says, hi, Roundtablers. His refusal to turn over his cell phone to investigators, even in a controlled environment, was understandable to a degree, although still raising some suspicions of hiding something. But the outright destruction of that cell phone brought the obstruction to a whole new level. Impeach him.
I wonder if they brought in Lindsey Graham to destroy the cell phone.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Hi, all, says EJ. Hope everyone is well. As a Pats fan, I am certainly saddened by the situation and the outcome. Unfortunately, I do believe there was foul play, but that doesn't change the fact that Brady is still one of the best QBs of all time. Alan's additional parenthesis, just like Alex Rodriguez.
I was just going to say the same thing. We will never know what he might have been doing for years without getting caught.
Right. Boy,
now this sort of thing will put the asterisk next to his name.
Yeah, but Alex Rodriguez is showing everybody, and I love that.
Well, how often is he tested these days?
Everyone makes mistakes, and perhaps he was under some kind of pressure, as famous people sometimes are. Hopefully we can move past this and enjoy the future with our beloved Pats. Much love to Brady and his Brady Bunch. See, get that? Okay.
I like it.
And Ken says, if this were criminal investigation, destruction of evidence would be considered obstruction of justice, and Brady would be in jail, not on vacation, with Mrs. Hashtag just saying. Whatever.
With the missus, yes.
Yeah, the missus just says, yeah, yeah. Thanks, Joe. And Ryan says, sports are more popular when it's a bad super guy, super team. In this case, that is the Patriots. Them winning is good for the sport because it gives people someone to cheer against, so it doesn't hold water that the other owners want to level the field, especially when last year's Super Bowl was so wildly popular. The owners are not out to get Brady. It just doesn't make sense. It's Brady's lying that has earned him the suspension in conjunction with the recent domestic abuses cases.
It's worth remembering that one of Goodell's closest allies among the owners is Robert Kraft, who owns the Patriots. And the discussions way, way behind the scenes must be very interesting between them.
Yeah, interesting. Michael says, can you erase your text by destroying the phone? Aren't they stored in the phone company's cloud? All things considered, Brady's a liar. He doesn't deserve the punishment. Go ask the... Oh, no, that's a question mark. He doesn't deserve the punishment? Go ask the team that lost the game. And that's from Michael.
Well, I'm pretty sure even the Indianapolis Colts have admitted that there was no way they were going to win that game at 45
right.
to 7 or whatever it was.
But isn't it interesting that this small sample of comments were primarily against Brady?
Yeah,
normally, you would think that it would be against the big, bad NFL.
And we tend to have Patriots fans in our audience.
I agree with you, Judy. As always, you make an incisive point. It depends who you are rooting for to begin
with. Well, if we have mostly Patriot fans, then they would be for Brady.
Who says we have mostly Patriots?
Well, there are a lot of Patriots fans in this area. Patriots and...
Well, we are. We do cover New England. I mean,
they migrate.
Yeah.
Well, Massachusetts.
It's not all that far.
That's all true. Okay.
All right.
Whatever.
Including
what
Joe Donahue.
That's right. I know. We're going to take a news break over to the BBC and find out what is happening there. We welcome your comments roundtable at wamc.org, roundtable at wamc.org. Alan Shartok, Judy Patrick, and Ira Fussfeld make up the group this morning. We welcome your comments as well. We will continue with the roundtable after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at wamc.org. Roundtable at wamc.org. We're going to move on to some other topics and talk about the story of Jonathan Pollard. Going to be released on parole in July 2014 after Jonathan Pollard has served 29 years of a life sentence for spying on behalf of Israel. His hopes for freedom were thwarted when a federal panel denied his request for parole. But that hearing set in motion an intense scramble by lawyers for Pollard to ensure a different result a year later when he would be eligible for parole after serving 30 years. On Tuesday, the effort finally succeeded as the United States Parole Commission announced that Mr. Pollard met the legal standards and would be released just before Thanksgiving.
Well, it also comes, as you know, at a time when Israel and the United States aren't doing too well together, and there are those who naturally suspect that this is part of keeping Israel happy. You know, to me, I'm fascinated by all this because, as you know, folks, the United States gets very angry when they find a spy. And we, of course, never spy. Ask Angela Merkel or ask any of those people whether, because when the CIA is always up for grabs and they're interviewing the guy, they would say, what's the number one thing we should be doing? Quote, more assets on the ground. And what do they think? What do we think assets are? They're spies. So one can make an argument that Pollard, you know, got what he deserves. But on the other hand, let's not be hypocritical about this.
You know, I had forgotten about Pollard, but apparently all these administrations all these years have not, and it's always been a part of the negotiations when we're talking to Israel about potential concessions.
Well, maybe not on our part as much as on their part, because Netanyahu took the time when hearing about the Pollard release or parole to basically try to sort of claim some credit for it, and said, I raise this with them, as you said, Judy, every time I talk to them.
What do you make of the fact that he's spying for an ally? I mean, it's and you mentioned Merkel, which is another example. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying to remember the time. I mean, we're talking about the mid '80s. I don't know who the president was. The first Bush. Netanyahu's been in and out, so I don't know what the politics of it was then. But it's just, you know, when you think of a spy, you think of them spying for the enemy. And this guy was spying for our most loyal ally in the Middle East. It's just the whole thing strikes me as odd.
Well, there's a whole thing in this country. There's music in the background. And the music in the background is, you know, Israel, the Jewish vote. Those are the kinds of things that politicians worry about. And I have to say, I think Pollard got excessively tough treatment. And people are afraid to say that because they're afraid that somehow somebody's going to point a finger at them and say that they're under the aura of the Jewish lobby. I find that to be disgusting.
So did Pollard do this for philosophical reasons, or did he do it for money? I can't remember.
Well, people are pointing the finger at him and saying he did it for money, and that makes him even worse. But clearly the Israelis don't feel that way.
When you think of the overall, he's getting out before Thanksgiving.
He'll be 60.
Anything between now and then that you think will happen?
Like what?
Anything intervening?
You think it might not happen?
Well, that's what I wonder.
No, I think he gets out. Now that they took the bite out of the apple, I think he gets out during that time. And one of the provisions is he has to stay in the United States for 5 years.
Right.
Can't go back to Israel, presumably.
I mean, it seems like he was sentenced. It was a life sentence eligible for parole in 30 years. And this is 30 years.
Yeah.
And if he's been, it was just like any other prisoner, if he's been a model citizen in prison, and he should be treated like no other a person coming up for parole. He's not Charles Manson, and since
he's
just
going to make that point,
yeah. And since he's going to have to be stay here for another 5 years, I mean, could he do it again? I mean, it seems it's sore, but it doesn't upset me that him having served literally half his life that he should be eligible.
We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let us talk about other big crime, and that is goat rustling that is happening in our area.
That's rustling, not wrestling.
Rustling.
Yeah, rustling.
Rustling.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there was a TV truck in front of the armory as I drove in. I thought maybe there was goat wrestling.
That's a Judy story.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Joe. In fact, it's one of the stories I talked about with Lucas this morning on WAMC. This is a story out of Montgomery County. Two men were accused and tried and pled guilty to stealing 21 goats from a Canajoharie farm last December. One of the men will spend 2.5 to 5 years in state prison for this. It's a grand larceny felony charge. The second guy is only going to get weekends in jail for 4 months. They have to pay restitution, but it's real kind of an interesting story, stealing that many goats. And what they did was they stole them, then they posted on Facebook that they were for sale. Someone from Broome County bought them, and then they posted on Craigslist, Craigslist. A guy from Broome County bought them, then noticed on Facebook that someone was missing the exact same number of goats, and then they were on to the caper. The guys got caught. The goats got returned. Nobody was injured. The family in Montgomery County raised these goats as pets, 21 of them or 20.
That's a lot of pets.
They weren't raising them for meat. That's what the Broome County guy's intentions were to slaughter them and sell the goat meat, which is popular, not among my family,
like
but among others. Tastes like chicken.
I don't know.
But it's kind of a tough sentence, 2.5 to 5 in state prison.
That's tough.
Yeah, for, third degree grand larceny is a felony.
Was the judge a vegetarian?
Montgomery County judge, we should check that one out. But interesting, you don't see this every day, goats being stolen. And they herded them into a nearby cemetery, loaded them on a truck. And if you've ever dealt with goats, and I have once or twice, they are really kind of hard to herd.
Yes.
Easier than cats.
Yes, absolutely. But they're still, they're like bouncy, wily creatures.
How do they go?
And nasty.
What do you mean?
Well, I've been reading to my grandson, and he has a book which tells you what each of the each of the animals sound like.
So the pig goes.
Or the sheep goes baa, but the goat goes.
It's kind of anywhere he wants.
Yeah, that's right. Anywhere.
You know, you
want
to record a children's book and sell it on one of your phone drives. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. One of my brother's big jokes when he was reading to his daughter was that he would say, "And the horse goes." And the duck goes woof. That was his little joke.
That's funny.
Well, it could have been worse for the goats. It could have been around that dentist who was out there shooting lions.
Well, and, that would be our next
segue.
Oh boy,
that is Cecil. And
that got my goat.
I don't understand the story. But let's talk about it. This is a story that has really made world news and is a very big deal. So we have a dentist in this country, although I'm not sure his practice is doing so well these days.
Well, his practice, he closed his practice this morning. Yeah.
So Dr. Walter Palmer is an American hunter known for killing big game with a bow and arrow. He killed Cecil, who is well known in western Zimbabwe for his jet black mane. It was beheaded, according to conservation officials, and his corpse was left to rot in the sun. So a 13-year-old lion who wandered out of a sanctuary in a national park following the scent of a potential snack. And the charge is here that the dentist paid some more than $50,000.
Think of all the crowns you have to pay.
I know. He must have been doing okay.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands of dollars for licenses to kill protected animals for trophies and sports. So now, some of the questions in this case, and there are many, just about, about the fact that you can go over, you can do this, but the fact that that Cecil was on protected property, and the charge is that the doctor and those who were leading the expedition lured Cecil with food across
into
an area that was not protected, and then the animal was shot. Bow and arrow. What is it? Both.
They got it with a bow and arrow that didn't kill him, and then they got him eventually with a gun.
Oh, and where's the dentist now? Is he back here on Long Island?
He is back and saying that everything he did was legal.
Oh, sure.
Well, he claims that the guides or the professionals who led the expedition led him to this lion, and he had no idea that this was a protected.
There should be some kind of sanction that could be imposed on this guy, but I doubt we're going to see it.
I just every picture of him, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. I don't know Mr. Palmer. I don't know Dr. Palmer. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. But every picture that I see of him, just smiling with dead carcasses in front of him, you just don't want to like this guy.
Well, but that let's separate that from hunters who in here and elsewhere shoot deer, etc.
Different
in what they shoot, but not different in. I've seen any number of pictures, as I'm sure Judy has. They come into the newsroom, you know, the day after the opening day of hunting season, and there's the hunter proudly displaying the dead buck on the back of his pickup truck. So the posing with the kill is I guess part of the game, the proud game of doing this. This is obviously different because of what was killed.
Well, I hope his address, his email address, and his phone number will all be posted somewhere so that people can let him know what they think of him.
Oh, I think it is, and I think especially on social media, this is going crazy.
Yeah, it is going crazy, and I guess they've already outside of his office, his closed dental office. They have.
What do you mean closed?
He closed. He has closed his practice.
Well, at least temporarily. Yeah.
Yeah.
And outside is a big heap of stuffed animals.
Right, that they're selling in supposedly to support the animal sanctuary.
But just so I
actually
just to be clear with what is obviously concerning you about this case, is it that he shot and killed this particular lion who was protected, or it was he shot and killed lions on a safari? I mean, there may be any number of thousands of people in this country who we walk into their big homes and their heads mounted of the various animals that they've killed. Yeah.
I think that idea of paying for the kill paying to go out, paying for the licenses to go out to kill these animals. This happens in this area. It happens in our county, Judy.
It does indeed.
And I find that to be a very troubling trend.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a gun owner and I'm not a hunter and I don't see the appeal in it, but I know it's very widely done.
We didn't
done.
Have these operations. Dick Cheney wouldn't have shot that guy in the face.
Lee says this guy was not going to eat this lion. As an American living in Mexico, I find it difficult to explain gun violence in the U.S. and now this. Yeah, the Mexicans, they have, you know, pretty good record on gun violence.
You're getting a comment from someone in Mexico right now?
That's what it says.
Cool. But
people are listening on the app, on the WAMC app. Yep. All you have to do.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, me too. I listened in Colombia, South America. You know, I listened in Italy.
Very cool.
Yeah, cool. So anyway, yeah. So, when I'm not going to read any more Brady stuff. That's enough on Brady. Okay. Okay.
You're biased against that story.
I am. And I apologize for it, but I am. Colleen says, good morning, folks. So the dentist states it was legal. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. Incidents like this are why I have faith in some form of karma. I take it she means he'll get his. Some faith in karma.
If he can move to Milwaukee, there's apparently a lion on the loose there. Maybe it'll track him down.
Well, I bet if they put up a license of $50,000, they could find people to pay to take him out.
Oh, I don't think we'll want to advocate that.
Well, no. I don't want to advocate that.
So we had a letter, Joe, on Pollard. It's interesting. Panel, according to Seymour Hersh, Pollard was stealing Russian target information so that Israel could use it for a nuclear attack in the event of an overwhelming Arab attack. Rick, who knows? Thought I'd read it. And another one on Pollard was, what about the Rosenberg? Spied for an ally, got executed. Spied for Russia, which was an ally at the time, and got executed. But by the time they executed him, Russia was hardly, or the Soviet Union was hardly an ally. Interesting. And then Michael said on Pollard, is this a kind of cookie for Israel after the Iranian deal? And like that.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more stories. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Frelinghuysen, Morris House and Studio, Lenox. This season, see their world. Vintage films from the 30s taken by artist George L.K. Morris, showing Lenox, New York City, and Europe. Guided tours Thursday through Sunday, Frelinghuysen.org. SnapboxPrints.com, providing online services printing personal photos as canvas prints, framed paper, pillows, and more. Family-owned and made locally in Malta, SnapboxPrints.com. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, plus collectibles and curiosities. Open 7 days a week, yeoldwarwickbookshop.com. And Berkshire Theater Group, presenting comedian Robert Klein, August 1st at the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. BerkshireTheater.org for tickets.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And we go to this story. This is the story of Joyce Mitchell, who was in Clinton County Court yesterday, who admitted smuggling tools to convicted killers at the prison in Dannemora. Joyce Mitchell, much like David Sweat, who is speaking out about his role and what happened after escaping from Dannemora in June. Ms. Mitchell is telling a lot and saying a lot. and sort of the sordid details of what has gone on. The New York Times reports that her statements to investigators sketch a vivid chronology of how Ms. Mitchell, a former supervisor in the prison's tailor shop, came to commit her crimes by falling for a prisoner, eventually succumbing to the seemingly irresistible momentum and dark excitement of the escape scheme. Mitchell was meant to be the getaway driver. She was to meet the two men at midnight near a powerhouse outside the prison, but she had a panic attack and did not show up. The panic may have been caused by threats made by the two men directed at Ms. Mitchell's Hudson Lyle, whom the inmates nicknamed the Glitch, and whom they planned to drug and murder. And this is a story, ultimately, that she tells of sex and giving them saw blades and... quite a sordid tale.
Giving them what?
Saw blades.
Oh, saw blades.
Yes, for the equipment that they had.
So here's this woman who obviously has, you know, some issues. And, you know, the governor got up and said, anybody who participates in this, basically, we're going to throw the book at. So now she from the first minute she tells all. She pulls an Anthony Weiner and sends pictures of body parts. You didn't know that?
Yeah. I did not.
Yeah. Got to read carefully to get this stuff. So it looks like she's going to get off with 2.5 years.
Is that all she served out of the 7?
Yeah. No, the 7 is the number that she was eligible, I understand, to serve. But I think what she's going to get is 2.5 years. And I think people see her... as sort of pathetic. On the other hand, we see Jonathan Pollard. They wanted to make the point, right, that, you know, you don't spy on this country, and if you do, you're going to go get a life prison sentence for doing it. Now you have a governor standing up and saying, anybody who's in on this, you know, we're gonna treat quite severely, as I remember him after he climbed out of the manhole. Remember that in the picture taking thing? So then. There's this going to be a discussion, right, whether she should have done more time, because in the end, we have to be very tough on this black market prison industry, which is going on, and we all know it, in which people are selling drugs and getting contraband, and prison people are putting it in. And here's somebody who could have been held more responsible as sort of a symbol. Mm-hmm. Let me just say, if she gets 2.5 years, I'm delighted. I don't think she should be a symbol for everything else that goes on, because I think this is a mess, and it's going to take a lot more than Joyce Mitchell getting 7 years or 2.5 years to clean up our prisons.
Well, it's interesting you said that. I had heard an interview, and it's apparently I learned stuff that you guys have already known about, but apparently in many of the prisons around the country, particularly where you have inmates who are in for life or certainly an extended amount of time, they spend a lot of time around the prison guards and vice versa and other key prison personnel. And that while I don't know what the definition here of widespread is, it is not unusual that after a period of time of them getting to know each other, that there is some sort of a friendlier relationship that emerges, whether it's getting contraband, as Alan says, or something like this. It's not all that uncommon, apparently. And so, to Alan's point, even if it's not fair to this one person to give her a penalty that might be greater than she deserved, if it does send a message that the state, in this case New York, is looking after cleaning up its prisons, then so be it. And by the way, to the extent that she was able to facilitate this prison break, and you consider the millions of dollars that was spent and the amount of time was spent to try to find these guys, it's not a small crime that she committed ultimately. So mm-hmm. She needs to be punished.
Yeah, and you know, it was such a, I initially read the story and said, oh, what a sad, sad, pathetic person. But really, it doesn't justify what she had done. And I also had hoped that maybe she had a pang of conscience that made her decide, oh, I'm not going to pick them up. But it wasn't conscience, I think. It was a panic attack.
Yeah, sounds like she was scared.
And I wish that she had that attack before she had smuggled any, you know, blades into the prison.
Well said.
We are just about out of time. We have a couple minutes for a few letters, so we'll go
we
to
do.
Those.
Okay. Lion says, Michael, Michelle, I'm so sorry. Originally from Pittsfield, I'm listening to in France right now.
Very cool.
Isn't that cool? Okay. And then, wait a second.
Did she say anything about the lion or no?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you said line. Did you?
Well, that's the subject line on the
response. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Okay.
No, maybe. Okay, so, boy, there are a lot of letters on this. Just to let you know that the doctor who shot the protected lion was convicted before on a poaching charge when he illegally shot a black bear. He could have gotten 2 years in prison, but only got probation. And then, did I hear Joe suggesting putting out a hit on this? That says, no, you did not.
No.
You did not. So cut it out. Well, I do not condone what this dentist do. Come on. He never said it. And I am very resentful when people start making this kind of stuff up because we see a certain amount of it. Ken, baiting an animal out of protection of a wildlife reserve at night, waiting in ambush for the light of the dark, and jacking him with the spotlights would wound him, track him for 40 hours, and finish him with rifles. That isn't hunting. Let's not forget Dick Cheney took part in many canned hunts. In 06, he even bagged himself a Texas attorney. Exactly. James Douglas. It took a terrible killing tragedy to finally take down the Confederate flag. Perhaps this lion killing will be the spark that starts a serious and complete protection of the endangered species of Africa and other areas. This time has come to say this is wrong, Jim from Montgomery.
Ain't going to happen. It's off the newspapers in 2 days.
Could be. Patrick says, this dentist should be stoned in the street for the benefit of the international community. This guy didn't do this for sport. And then it goes on, but we hear you. Deborah says, why not take a photo and let the animal live? Years ago, when a photographic safari in Kenya, the thrill of taking the perfect photo was very satisfying. And Bonnie says, hunting per se is one thing for food, but this was a trophy, the first world version of male bravado. This, quote, man has other big cats, lion, leopard under his belt. Last I looked, all big cats are endangered. Maybe this next goal will be a snow leopard. And just, you know, kidding, one of those signs. And Roger says, I think the reason Pollard was treated so harshly is because he spied against our intelligence agencies. They have a burr in their saddle because of the USS Liberty sinking by the Israelis in the 73 war. It was an intelligence ship, and several operators and sailors were killed by the Israeli Navy. The Israelis claimed it was an accident. However, investigation shown as deliberate because we were copying radio traffic that indicated they started the war. Menachem Begin admitted to the error and aggression before he died. The intelligence agencies in the U.S. have no warm spot for the Mossad.
We have time for one more letter, and I'm hoping you'll go to the top and read Tina's letter, because I think
will.
It's great.
Okay. Tina, our old friend, says, Joyce Mitchell is getting the same amount of time as the goat thieves.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And who should get more?
So let's end there. And my thanks to Alan, and of course Judy Patrick will be back on Friday. Ira, thank you very much for filling in the last couple days.
No
I appreciate
problem.
It. And we will return with the roundtable after this.